Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who trust in him. Nahum 1:7. Psalm 118:24, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118:24. 1 John 5:11. God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. 1 John 5:11. Would you open your Bibles to Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:18. You'll be able to see that we've put the scripture up by my writing, and so you'll just have to forgive me because I failed to type this particular verse out. Now you have it. That stands for Ephesians 5:18 in case you can't read it. Ephesians 5:18. I've been handed a joke, and so this is a 4th of July joke, and this is the only day I can give this, so let's do it now. Hearing of the supposed feat by George Washington of throwing a dollar across the Potomac River, a group of men decided to see if this feat could indeed be duplicated. One after another, each man failed to in his attempt to throw a dollar across the Potomac River. At long last, the group was forced to admit that the success of George Washington lay in the fact that in 1776, a dollar just went farther. I didn't know just exactly how that joke was going to go over, but it went over real well. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study, Ephesians 5:18. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to focus our minds upon the eternal Word of God. You've given us so many wonderful blessings in life, and we appreciate the fact that we're the recipients of these grace blessings on a day-by-day basis. We thank you for the opportunity now to turn our attention away from the distractions of the world and focus our minds upon this magnificent subject of the mandates of the Holy Spirit. We thank you over and over again for your master love and grace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In the bulletin today, you have an insert. That insert has on one side the doctrinal study, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. On the opposite side, you will see a diagram, and I trust that you'll get that diagram out and take a look at it, because most of you have studied with us over the years. This particular diagram, it was presented to you in different ways, but emphasizing the power of the Spirit of God in the Christian life. And you will notice that we have chosen to review for you the fact that sometimes it's called the love system, sometimes the divine power sphere, the interlocking systems of love, the divine dynasphere. Whatever terminology you would like, that's fine with me. But what we're emphasizing here is what takes place in the Christian life. And so I want you to be able to see that there's an emphasis here upon the power of the Spirit of God in relationship to every step that is taken in your life and mine on a day-by-day basis. For review, let's just look for a few moments. Gate 1 or step 1 is the filling of the Holy Spirit, which is an emphasis upon restoration to fellowship. Step 2 is basic and personal love, and that is, of course, an emphasis upon having a relaxed mental attitude. Step 3 or gate 3 is humility, and that is, of course, involved with enforced humility, organizational humility, and genuine humility. Number 4 is a very important point, and this is what we call perception and application to the Word of God. All of us must realize that the important facet in our Christian lives is for us to be perceptive to God's Word, cleansed of sin, filled with the Spirit, and utilizing the Spirit of God and the Word of God on a moment-by-moment, day-by-day basis. So number 4 is perception and application of God's Word. In other words, not only hearing the Word of God, but being able to metabolize, apply, utilize the Word of God on a day-by-day basis. All of us must realize that God has a plan for us as a believer. That believer must love the Lord Jesus Christ. In order to love the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to love the Word of God. And no one can really say that I truly love God without loving the Word of God. So we understand that loving the Word of God simply means that we love having the mind of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now you'll see gate 5, 6, and 7, and 8, which is an emphasis with which we'll deal later. But personal love for God, love for companion, advance in personal love. The major thing that we're presenting here today is step 8 or gate 8, which is the Greek word chara, and that's the word kara, and that is the Greek word for joy or happiness. Now, in these moments today, we're going to be dealing with a subject, the Holy Spirit's mandates. And I wanted to present some things for you to put down and review in a later time. Number one, the filling of the Holy Spirit is the power by which the divine dynasphere, the love system, which I've just been explaining, functions. That's very important for us to be able to see. The filling of the Holy Spirit is the power by which the divine dynasphere, the love system, functions. Now, what we will discover is that there's a Greek word for the power of God, and that Greek word is dunamis, D-U-N-I-M-A-S, dunamis. And dunamis is the word which means dynamite. It's a power which is explosive, and so the filling of the Holy Spirit is the dynamite by which the divine power sphere functions. You'll notice the second statement on the screen. Apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit, there is no spiritual IQ for perception of God's Word. We're going to get into a discussion in a few seconds about IQ, but right now I just want you to see that apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit, there's no spiritual IQ for perception of God's Word. That's the reason why we try to emphasize over and over again the importance of having a moment of prayer before we begin our Bible study to be sure that we're in fellowship with Jesus Christ and that we stay in fellowship with Jesus Christ while we're studying His Word. In other words, when we stay in the auditorium for 30 minutes, 35 minutes, 45 minutes, however many minutes, during that period of time, while the Word of God is being read and proclaimed, it's important that we stay in harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ, because there is where the perception takes place. In other words, it doesn't matter what your IQ is. Perception is an emphasis upon the response of the believer taking in the Word of God while filled with the Holy Spirit. So you can see that the second statement here, apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit, there is no spiritual IQ for perception of God's Word. You have to emphasize that over and over again, because what I can see that happens, and I'm not going to be telling you that I'm reading your mail, but it's possible for me to be up here preaching, and I can look out there and I can see something is taking place that I'm not sure what all it is that's taking place, but I can tell you that you probably have your mind going off on a trip somewhere. In other words, your mind has departed. And so you're not paying attention to what is being said. And I don't know where all your mind is. And it's probably a good thing that I don't know where your mind is, because you may be thinking some bad things about the preacher. But I wouldn't want to know that, of course. But anyway, your mind wanders. And we're all guilty of this. Or sometimes the mind gets rather tired, and if we need some sleep, we just take it. And so that's what happens to some of you. I look at you and I think you're praying for me. In reality, I find out that later on you've just been asleep. You haven't been praying for me. You've just been asleep. But anyway, what we're talking about here is perception. In fellowship, staying in fellowship while the preaching of the Word of God is continuing. Number three statement on the screen. The only legitimate power for the perception and the application of God's Word is the Holy Spirit. We've been and will continue over a period of time emphasizing this magnificent subject of the Holy Spirit. The only legitimate power for perception and application of God's Word is the Holy Spirit. That's the reason why the scripture that I put on the screen a few moments ago, Ephesians 5:18. That verse of scripture says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit." Now, some people only emphasize the last part of that verse. Some people only emphasize the first part of the verse. And I'm here to emphasize the entire verse. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. So we have in Ephesians 5:18 an emphasis upon something which controls. In other words, it's possible for a person's mind and body to be controlled by an outside influence that is not the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, if a person is under the influence of alcohol, then the alcohol takes over and that person's mind is under the control and influence of the alcohol. This scripture says, "Be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit." The emphasis here is choose the best of life. Choose as a believer what God desires for every believer to have a fruitful, abundant, triumphant, victorious life. It's found in Ephesians 5:18. Residence in the divine dynasphere. That's what you have in Ephesians 5:18. If I were you, I would write down somewhere in my notes Ephesians 5:18, but I wouldn't just put Ephesians 5:18. I would put residence in the divine dynasphere. Residence. Now, most of us understand residence. We have been living at 2203 Clayton Drive for 47 years, I believe it is. That's our residence. When I leave here, I don't go to your house. I go to our house. We're residents. That's our residence. Now, this is emphasizing the fact that we are to have our residence in relationship to our Lord, being submissive to Him and being under His influence and His control. So, residence in the divine dynasphere. If you look at number 2, you will see that it is in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Which says, walk by means of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you'll notice, residence in the divine dynasphere is mandate number 1. Mandate number 2 is function, operation, the ability to move about. Walk by means of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16. Mandate number 3 is found in Ephesians 4:30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. If you'll notice what I put in parentheses here is outside the divine dynasphere. If a person chooses to leave that control of the spirits of the Word of God, that person chooses to step outside of the divine dynasphere. Many, many times I've said, and you've seen this picture, that temptation per se is not the sin. Temptation comes on the scene. You are in harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're right with Him. The temptation comes and a decision is to be made. If you make a decision to obey that temptation, you step outside of the power and influence of the Spirit of God. If you stay inside the Spirit and filling of the Spirit of God, then you are rebelling and rejecting the temptation that is coming your direction. It is important for us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Because when we grieve the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30, it simply means that when the temptation comes, we observe that temptation, we are allured by that temptation, we become enamored with that temptation, and we make a decision. And if we make a decision to yield to that temptation, immediately we're moved outside of the power of the divine dynasphere, we're grieving the Holy Spirit, we're outside of God's plan, which is the divine system of love. If you'll notice number four, the mandate number four, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Holy Spirit. And you'll notice I put in parentheses here, prolonged disobedience. Prolonged disobedience. This is emphasizing the fact that it's possible for a person to get outside of God's plan and stay outside over a period of time, quenching the Holy Spirit. Now, in the light of what has been said, let's look at these statements. The most complicated categories of divine truth can be learned when a believer is inside the divine power sphere, the divine dynasphere. Now, I want to spend a little bit of time here and let you see, because I put some words in parentheses and smaller letters. The most complicated categories of divine truth can be learned when a believer, no matter what that believer's IQ is, if that believer is inside the divine power sphere. There are people who have said to me, and I'm sure they've said to most ministers, "Well, you know, I'm just too dumb to learn the Word of God. Oh, that's too complicated for me. I just can't learn that." Let me tell you something. What we must realize that this learning process is not determined by our individual IQ. It's important for us to see that the most complicated categories of divine truth can be learned when the believer is inside of that divine power sphere, no matter what the IQ is. Okay, let's go to the next statement. Spiritual IQ only works effectively in the divine dynasphere. Spiritual IQ only works effectively in the divine dynasphere. Grieving or quenching the Holy Spirit causes the divine dynasphere to cease functioning. We have to think about this. Let it soak in. Spiritual IQ only works effectively while we're in the divine power sphere, while we're in the love system, when we're in God's plan for us. Grieving or quenching the Holy Spirit causes the divine system to cease functioning. Now, notice, if you will, the last statement on the screen. The only place to learn God's Word, no matter what the IQ is the divine dynasphere, the love system. Now, what I want to do is to give you very rapidly some information that most of you, I'm sure, understand. And that is, what is the divine dynasphere? What do we mean when we talk about the love system? Well, first of all, I need to tell you that the divine dynasphere was given to the Lord Jesus Christ as a Christmas present. I want you to think about this with me. I want you to see that the divine dynasphere was given to Jesus Christ as a Christmas present. This divine power sphere was given to him at his birth. So you put that down and you can think about it as we move along. Number two, the divine dynasphere is given to each believer at the point of spiritual birth. Just as Jesus Christ received that magnificent gift of the Spirit's activity at birth, you and I receive that at the point of our spiritual birth. The power of the divine dynasphere is God, the Holy Spirit. Number four, there can be no glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ apart from the divine dynasphere, the divine love system. It's important for you to get these four points down before we go to number five. The divine dynasphere was a gift given to Jesus Christ when he came on the scene. Jesus Christ has been so good to us to make it possible for us at the time of regeneration to give us the ability to comprehend spiritual phenomena. And that's the spiritual gift. The power of the divine dynasphere is God the Holy Spirit. Number four, there can be no glorification of the Lord Jesus apart from the divine dynasphere. In other words, if we're trying to live the Christian life in the energies of the flesh, we're not going to make it. Let's move along rapidly. Number five. There can be no true happiness apart from this system. There can be no true happiness apart from the divine love system. In other words, what we must understand when we get to step four of that love system is perception and application. We're perceptive to God's Word. We utilize and apply God's Word. When we are perceptive to God's Word and apply God's Word, we will find ourselves, no matter what the circumstances are, we will find ourselves with joy internally. Now, let me tell you something. There are a lot of things that are distractions in this world. Most of us have faced this and are facing it even now. Every day that we live, we're faced with many distractions in this life. But I promise you that God has a plan for us, and no matter how difficult things may be, we have to have internal, inside happiness. And that's the reason why, if you look at this divine power sphere, you get over to gate 8, you will see that the Greek word is C-H-A-R-A, joy, happiness, and that's God's plan for every born-again believer. Am I excited about this? You better believe it. Because I realize that within my own strength and you within your own strength, we'll never be happy if we're depending upon circumstances, if we're depending upon material aspects of life, if we're depending upon any of these things, we're not going to be happy in life. There can be no true happiness, number five, apart from this power sphere. Number six, you folks are so wonderful. I notice what some of you do. While I'm preaching on one point, you're copying the next points. You're trying to get ahead of me. That's okay. I'm going to get there. Just go ahead and keep copying it. Number six, the momentum of the Christian life comes from perception of God's truth. When a person understands step four, which is perception and application. It's just simple. You can put this in different terminology. You can change the terminology if you want to. All I'm trying to do is let you see that there is a means of communication, and I'm trying to use this so that we can comprehend. Number seven. Bible teaching pastors are the seven stars, and they provide the spiritual food for folk who are perceptive and who desire to advance. Now, some of you are saying, what do you mean by seven stars? Well, you have to go to the book of Revelation to get that. So we're not going to deal with that right now. You've studied the book of Revelation with us, and I know that since I've been such a good teacher, you know everything there is to know about the book of Revelation. Number seven again, Bible teaching pastors are the seven stars, and they provide spiritual food for folk who are perceptive and who desire, notice that word, desire to advance. Number eight, the believer provides perception. The pastor has the responsibility of providing spiritual food. And this is done consistently and faithfully. My responsibility is to study and to teach. Your responsibility is to be here and listen. And I'm glad that so many of you do that. And I'm shameful for some of you who don't. But that's all right. When you don't show up, it's between you and God, and I know God knows your circumstances, and I don't, and so I'm satisfied that when you're not here, it's because you've been providentially hindered. I'm trying to use good terminology. Oh, my. Isn't that wonderful? You folks are mighty quiet on that. Okay, let's move on. A believer who rejects God's Word closes doors and destroys options. A believer who rejects God's Word closes doors and destroys options. On the other hand, turn the coin over. A believer who accepts God's Word opens the doors and makes possible greater options, which will result in great blessings. It will also result in great happiness and great dynamics in this life. here's something that I'm aware of, and I want you to understand my thoughts and my attitude in relationship to what I just said a few moments ago. I'm aware of the fact that there are people in our church family who don't show up, but who are extremely faithful in receiving the Word of God on a daily basis. I'm aware of that. So I want you to know that I'm not being condemning. I want you to know that I'm trying to be a little bit prodding to let us see how important it is to be faithful to receive the Word of God. Number 9 again, a believer who rejects God's Word closes doors and destroys options. But a believer, on the other hand, who accepts God's Word opens doors and makes possible greater options, which will result in great blessings, great happiness, and great dynamics in this life. Number 10, perception is the only thing that can turn around and preserve our great client nation. We are celebrating the 4th of July. All of you are aware of the fact. And I see point 10 as an important point indeed. Perception is the only thing that can turn around and preserve our great client nation. I want to express my deep appreciation for you, because you are the individuals who love God and love His Word, and you're desirous of receiving God's Word on a continual, consistent basis. And that's what I believe makes possible for our nation to be preserved. I thank God for individuals like that. I thank God for you. And you realize that we are praying for those of our church family who are ill. We're praying for the Sorter family, and all of you are aware of the fact that the visitation of the memorial service is at Cedar Bio Baptist Church. The visitation is at 2:30. The service will be at 3 o'clock. Dr. Mark Broussard will be bringing the message. A wonderful man of God, fantastic individual. And you pray for the family, and if at all possible, be there to participate in this memorial service for Mike Sorter. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, thank you so much today for your grace, and thank you for the power of the Spirit of God. We realize that the Scripture says, "Be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit." We realize that the commands of the Word of God are commands that are to be responded to and to be obeyed. And you've never given us a command that cannot be responded to. And so we know that when you said, "Be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit," that command can be obeyed. Help us to understand the power of the Spirit of God and the Word of God as we live each day. For those who hear the message who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, we pray that they will understand that there's only one way of salvation, and that's Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me." The Scripture says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved." We pray that there will be those who will trust you as their Savior at this very moment. And we thank you again for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Clumsy words. The noise of what we often say is not worth being heard. When the Father's wisdom wanted to communicate His love, He spoke it in one final perfect word. He spoke the and so was born the Son. His final word was Jesus. He needed no other one. Spoke flesh and blood so He could bleed and make a way divine. And so was born the baby who would die to make it. So the light became
plan. Eternity stepped into time so we could understand. He spoke the incarnation, and so was born the Son. His final word was Jesus. He needed no other one. Spoke flesh and blood so he could bleed and make a way divine. And so was born the baby who would die to make it mine. Of what we often say is not worth being heard. When the Father's wisdom wanted to communicate his love, he spoke it in one final.